is Belinda Noah, and this is the sixth in a series of podcasts concerning securities law. Now, in this case, the hedge fund owner is a hypothetical client, Prince Bonotasasa, who is a protagonist in an upcoming motion picture. Prince Bonotasasa has come to me for advice because he wants to make sure that he pulls investors' money and invests their money in accordance with the applicable exemptions of the Securities and Exchange rules and regulations, in an effort to ensure that the investors receive a positive return on their investments. I explained to him that hedge funds seldom have to register with the Securities and Exchange Commission because they are able to utilize certain exemptions to registration. First of all, operating a hedge fund is not the same as investing in securities and playing the stock market. For the most part, only accredited investors are permitted to participate in hedge fund investing. Similar to mutual funds, hedge funds receive a percentage of assets managed, but unlike mutual funds, the hedge fund also receives a 20% cut of the profits. Thus, a hedge fund is a privately organized, pooled investment vehicle managed by a professional investment manager that often engages in active trading in either a group of securities or commodities, including equities, derivatives, government securities, municipal securities, futures, options, and foreign currencies. Hedge funds may also use a large amount of borrowed cash. Prince Bonotasasa would not have to register as an investment advisor with the Securities and Exchange Commission because he qualifies for the private fund advisor exemption from the SEC registration provisions, since he will have less than $150 million under management and will only advise private funds in accordance with Section 3C1 and 3C7 of the Investment Company Act of 1940. However, many states require that investment advisors with the place of business in the state register. For example, some states such as California, Texas, Washington, and Colorado require the investment advisors to register, whereas some states such as New York, Connecticut, Florida, and Georgia have exemptions to the registration process. In general, hedge funds want to avoid registration because of the compliance complexities and the time and expense of registering and offering of securities with the SEC. I explain that although the hedge fund may be exempt from registration with the SEC, there are additional securities laws that must be examined to ensure that the private fund advisor's activities fall within an exemption to registration. I also explain that the state investment advisor registration requirements must be examined to ensure compliance or that an exemption to registration is available. Now, a new hedge fund or private equity fund should first decide whether it will qualify as a 3C1 or a 3C7 fund, which are two different exemptions from the requirements imposed on investment companies under the Act. Now, under the Act, an investment company is defined as an issuer that holds itself out as being engaged primarily or proposes to engage primarily in the business of investing, reinvesting, or trading in securities. Thus, the aim of almost all, if not all, private funds is to avoid investment company registration under the Act in order to avoid the Act's requirements of SEC registration, disinterested directors, ongoing disclosure, and the prohibitions on affiliated transactions and trading activities such as short sales and derivative trading. I explain that in order to comply with the exemption from registering as an investment company under the 3C1 or 3C7 exemptions, Prince, the Notice Access Fund, must not make or propose to make a public offering of its securities and either limit the fund to no more than 100 investors or limit the fund to qualified purchasers. Now, in addition, even when state registration is not required, states are permitted to require that the issuer file a copy of Form D with the state if the issuer has sold or intends to sell its securities to the state's residents. Now, in order to qualify as a 3C1 fund, Princess the Notasasa's Fund will offer investment interest under Rule 506 and accept investment from no more than 100 investors. Once the hedge fund qualifies as a 3C1 fund, it does not have to comply with the additional investor status limitations applicable to 3C7 funds. Most hedge funds and private equity funds offer security interests under Rule 506 and accept investments from no more than 100 investors. However, if the general partner's interest is at risk of being considered a security, the number of investors is limited to 99. Now, in accordance with Section 3C7 of the Act, restricting investment only to qualified purchasers, a hedge fund could take up to 1,999 investors before it is required to register with the Securities and Exchange Commission under the Securities and Exchange Act of 1934. Under Section 3C7 of the Act, qualified purchasers include individuals or family-owned businesses that own $5 million or more in investments, a trust sponsored and managed by qualified purchasers, a person acting for his own or her own account, or the account of someone else that owns and invests at least $25 million in investments, and finally, any entity exclusively owned by qualified purchasers. However, even if knowledgeable employees are not qualified purchasers, they are permitted to invest in 3C1 and 3C7 funds without jeopardizing the exemption. Now, all U.S. and non-U.S. fund managers that advise solely venture capital funds, irrespective of size or number of funds, or exempt from registration. A venture capital fund under this exemption is defined as any private fund that represents to investors and potential investors that it pursues a venture capital strategy does not surpass the 20% basket for non-qualifying exemptions, does not borrow, issue debt obligations, provide guarantees, or otherwise incur leverage in excess of 15% of the private fund's capital contributions, which borrowing, indebtedness, guarantee, or leverage is on short-term basis for a non-renewable period of less than 120 days, does not offer its investors redemption or similar liquidity rights, except as in extraordinary circumstances, such a withdrawal is permissible, and is not registered under the Act and has not elected to be treated as a business development company. A foreign private advisor includes an investment advisor that has no place of business in the United States, has in total fewer than 15 clients and fund investors in the United States, has less than $25 million in RAUM from clients and fund investors in the United States, does not hold itself out to the public in the U.S. as an investment advisor, and does not act as an investment advisor to a registered investment company or a business development company. There are several other exemptions and exclusions that are not commonly available, such as exclusion for family offices, intrastate advisors, and advisors only to small business investment companies. Even if a company is not required to register its securities with the SEC, it may be required to register them with the state in accordance with the state's blue sky laws, where the potential investors reside or otherwise obtain a state exemption from registration. In addition, even when state registration is not required, states are permitted to require that the issuer file a copy of Form D along with a filing fee with the state if the issuer has sold or intends to sell its securities in the states where it is located. Now, the failure to qualify for an exemption means that a hedge fund must comply with this act to avoid the possibility of SEC enforcement action, litigation from investors, and private litigation from contractual parties. Hedge funds mostly rely on the SEC's Regulation D, Rule 506B, or Regulation D, Rule 506 exemptions. An offering is exempt from registration under Rule 506B if the issuer does not solicit or advertise to market the securities, and the issuer only offers or sells securities to accredited investors, and the issuer takes reasonable care to ensure that the purchasers aren't buying the securities with the intent to resell them. Rule 506C is similar to Rule 506B, except that the prohibition on general solicitation is not applicable, and the issuer takes reasonable steps to ensure that the securities purchased under a Rule 506 exemption need not be registered with the SEC. Instead, the fund must file Form D with the SEC within 15 days after the first sale. Now, one benefit of relying on Rule 506B or Rule 506C is that state registration requirements are preempted and therefore the fund need not find a separate exemption with each state. The hedge fund must still file a copy of Form D with each state where there are purchases of the fund's interest, and also the state where the fund advisor is located in some cases. I also note that the Act's reporting requirements are inconsistent with running a hedge fund, because the Act requires registering with the SEC, which comes with numerous restrictions and additional statutory and regulatory hurdles. For example, registered hedge funds must provide ongoing public reporting for investors on their investment holdings and are subject to restrictions on what those holdings can be. Thus, it is imperative that an exemption to registration be utilized, if at all possible. Prince, the Notasasa, has passed the Investment Advisor Law Examination, or Series 65, allowing him to offer investment advice. However, he does not have to register with the SEC as an investment advisor because he qualifies for an exemption under the Act. As I previously described, he will register his company through the Investment Advisory Registration Depository when applicable in the various states. To qualify for the registration exemption, his fund will be offering securities via a private placement pursuant to SEC Regulation D Rule 506 that permits sales of his fund's interest to an unlimited number of accredited investors. Prince Thanotasasa's fund may sell to a maximum of 35 non-accredited investors as well, and there is no limit to the dollar amount of securities that he can offer. At this point in the conversation, I confirm that he has already lined up a prime broker that will execute trades, lend money, and perform other financial services on his firm's behalf. That his corporate bylaws and compliance manual have been completed, and that he already has a substantial number of accredited investors who would like to benefit from his investment strategies. Hedge funds that are exempt from registration or prohibited by the Act from making public offerings and are subject to the anti-fraud provisions included in the Securities Act of 1933 and the Securities Exchange Act of 1934. I explained to Prince Thanotasasa that under Dodd-Frank, the SEC has the legal right to adjust the net worth and income standards for investors as it sees fit. I explained that all hedge fund firms, irrespective of the size, structure, and investment programs, run the risk of trade errors. Even though the SEC does not require it, Prince Thanotasasa's hedge fund has a trade error policy in place because the best way to minimize the cost of trade errors is to create a sound plan of action for when they may occur. Examples of trade errors include buying or selling the wrong security, buying or selling the wrong amount of a security, trading in the wrong account, allocating incorrectly among clients, buying instead of selling a security, executing at the wrong price, violating a client's investment program or trading restrictions, and duplicating trades, among other errors. I note that he should consult with me on whether a particular trade constitutes a trade error before determining the firm's appropriate course of action, if there is ever a need to do so. Trade error questions arise during a typical investor due diligence request. We both agree that in line with the firm's philosophy of competence and integrity, the firm will always be transparent and honest when answering any trade error questions. Because Prince Thanatosasa operates in the United States, he is also regulated by the requirements of the Commodity Exchange Act, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, the Commodity Pool Operators, and the Commodity Trading Advisors. Hedge funds are subject to the same prohibitions against securities fraud as are other market participants, and the fund managers owe a fiduciary duty to the funds that they manage. Because of his meticulous attention to detail and due to his respect for his investors, Prince Thanatosasa has requested that my colleagues and I review his funds offering agreements, memorandum, and related materials to ensure that they contain sufficient information about investing in the fund, the investment strategies of the fund, the risk of the investment, fees earned by the hedge fund manager, expenses charged to the hedge fund, and the hedge fund manager's potential conflict of interest. Prince Thanatosasa notes that he and his colleagues always insist that the investors read all the documents before making their decisions to invest in his hedge funds. He explains that because he is already a billionaire many times over, he is not doing it just for the money, but he wants to make sure that they understand the investment opportunity. Prince Thanatosasa and I discussed the ramifications of using money to make an investment, which is called leverage. When that happens, the hedge fund using leverage will generally invest the investor's capital and the borrowed money to make investments in an attempt to increase the potential returns of the fund. The use of leverage will magnify both the potential gain and the potential loss from an investment. The use of leverage can turn an otherwise conservative investment into an extremely risky investment. The hedge fund may also invest in derivatives, such as options and futures, and use short selling, that is, selling a security it does not own, to increase its potential returns, which may increase the potential gain or loss from an investment. Prince Thanatosasa's hedge fund will engage third parties such as prime brokers, an administrator, an outside accountant that audits the fund's financial statements, and a valuation agent. Prince Thanatosasa notes that some of his investments will include highly illiquid securities that are difficult to value, and that he and his managers will always explain that to the investors. Valuations of the fund's assets affect the fees that are charged. I note that hedge funds do not need to follow any standard methodology when calculating performance, and they may invest in securities that are relatively illiquid and difficult to value, whereas federal securities laws dictate how mutual funds, for example, can advertise their performance by requiring specific ways to calculate current yield, tax equivalent yield, average annual total return, and after-tax return, as well as having detailed requirements for the types of disclosure that must accompany any performance data. Prince states, the notice also states that even though they are not required to do so, he and his managers will always explain the performance data for the hedge fund, specify whether it reflects cash or assets actually received by the fund, as opposed to the manager's estimate of the change in value of fund assets, and explain whether the data includes deductions for fees. Hedge funds may limit the investor's right to redeem their shares, unlike mutual funds, where the investor may elect to sell his or her shares on any given day. Hedge funds typically limit opportunities to redeem or cash in shares and often impose a lockup period of 1 year or more, during which time the investor cannot cash in their shares. In the time it takes for an investor to redeem their shares, their value could diminish, and the investor will not have use of the money invested in those shares. In addition, hedge funds may charge the investor a redemption fee before the investors are allowed to cash in their shares. Moreover, hedge funds may also have authority to suspend redemptions under certain circumstances, including in times of market distress or when their investments are not able to be quickly or easily liquidated. Any hedge fund with less than $25 million in regulatory assets under management is prohibited from registering with the Securities and Exchange Commission and is required to register with state regulators unless an exemption applies. Also, if the hedge fund has between $25 million and $100 million of regulatory assets under management, and the advisor is required to be registered as an investment advisor in the state in which the fund maintains the principal office and place of business, and if registered, would be subject to examination as an investment advisor by the applicable state securities division, the fund will not be permitted to register with the Securities and Exchange Commission unless the fund is required to register with 15 or more states. In closing, I advise that a private placement memorandum may be required by a particular state's securities laws, even though the private placement memorandum is not required to be filed with the SEC, and that although the hedge fund is exempt from registration, it may be required to register with the state where the potential investors reside or otherwise obtain a state exemption from registration. Even when state registration is not required, states are permitted to require that the hedge fund file a copy of Form D, along with a filing fee. Until the next time, this has been Belinda Noah, and this is Belinda Noah signing off. Have a great rest of your day and week. Thank you.